Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Each week on the hit show Out of the Fog, spark your spirit and ignite your soul. Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic, lights up your day with spiritual conversation, enlightening guests, and on-air readings that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, light workers, spiritual visionaries, and more. Whether she's interviewing someone well-known or unknown, Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity keep the atmosphere positive and generous. Want an on-air reading? Tune in to hear Karen and take your calls and deliver the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Now here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. I want to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. I want to get you moving from stuck to unstuck, out of fear and into love. I am glad you're here. Whether you're listening live or catching an archived version of the show, it doesn't matter. Time and distance are no barrier to energy. So whenever you're tuning in, no matter how you found us, I think you're here for a reason. And I hope that something you hear in the next hour gives you a new perspective, maybe makes you laugh and helps you move forward. Vincent van Gogh is supposed to have said, "I dream my painting and I paint my dream." Our unconscious mind expresses itself in images, in symbols, in stories that are both deeply personal and also have resonance on a collective level, on a universal level. If Van Gogh dreamed his paintings and then brought that into the physical world by painting his dreams, what can your dreams tell you about where you are, where you're headed, and what you're being invited to explore or express in the waking world? My guest on today's show is Dr. Michael Lennox. He's one of the leading experts on dreams and dream interpretation, and he's the author of Dream Sight, a dictionary and guide for interpreting any dream. And if you would like to share a dream with him, to get his interpretation, this is the time for you to call in. The number is 800-930-2819. That's 800-930-2819. You can also connect with us using the instant feedback box if you're listening live at transformationtalkradio.com. That instant feedback box is in the upper right-hand side of your screen. Now, I'll bring Dr. Michael Lennox on the air in just a minute, but first, would you please zip over to fogcitypsychic.com and just begin randomly clicking on everything. That's a great place to get a free audio to help you jumpstart your daily spiritual practice. You can get a sneak peek at what's coming up on this show. And if you click on the classes tab, you'll be able to get details on the next section of the Psychic Development Intensive. You can find out more about online gallery readings, and oh my, the fun never ends over there. So if you're looking for compassionate, no-nonsense intuitive guidance, and you decide you want to connect with me privately, fogcitypsychic.com is the place to get more information about that, too. And now, for more than 20 years, Dr. Michael Lennox has been interpreting dreams, illuminating the meanings of thousands of dreams in workshops, in the media, and for corporate and private clients. His book, Dream Sight, a Dictionary and Guide for Interpreting Any Dream, was published by Llewellyn Worldwide this year. Dr. Lennox has been seen internationally by millions of viewers on many television shows, beginning with the Sci-Fi Network's The Dream Team with Annabelle and Michael. He's been featured on the Emmy Award-winning reality show Starting Over, on Soap Network's Soap Talk, MTV's Myths and Urban Legends, National Lampoon's Editorial Desk, The Wayne Brady Show, The Gregory Mantell Show, as well as local news broadcasts across the country, from Los Angeles to Denver to New York. You can find out more about Michael Lennox and his work at michaellennox.com. Michael, welcome to Out of the Fog.
No, it is great to be out of the fog.
Thank you so much for being on the show today. This
is a pleasure.
It's a fascinating subject. Dreams are in that fuzzy area between science and mystery. And I'm wondering, do dreams serve a biological function? They do, right? Don't we need to dream?
Absolutely. The brain needs to clean itself off. It has spent all day long collecting an enormous amount of data through our senses, and it stores that data exactly like a computer does, information that it collects during the day as you're using it, and it gets sluggish and slows down. If the brain doesn't clear that stuff off and take the sort of extraneous, superfluous information and discard it and, you know, take the important stuff and put it somewhere it can get to it and reach it, if it doesn't clean it off like that, we would actually go psychotic. We would have a break with reality. We'd begin to hallucinate.
Huh. So without dreams, we can't stay connected to reality.
Cannot function. You would actually die eventually.
Wow.
And it's actually the sleeping, dreaming part of sleep that is important to the brain. And we know that because there are very distinct stages of sleep, only one of which includes an active amount of dreaming, and that's the rapid eye movement or REM sleep. That's the only stage of sleep that gets made up if you lose sleep. So if you don't sleep for a couple of days, you will spend more time in REM, but you won't spend any extra time in any of the other stages of sleep. So then we know by that that's the part of sleeping and dreaming that's important to the brain's functioning. It's also where we learn data, information, that if a college student is studying for exams, he or she is going to spend more time in REM sleep than, say, a person who's not studying for exams. So we know that the REM process, the dreaming process, is about attaining smarts, getting smarter, remembering things, forming memory.
And about staying connected to reality. That's wonderful because it isn't just, oh, I dreamed I was a pirate and oh, I am now do something else, right?
Yeah, in fact, the scientists out there, and I do consider myself half scientist, half mystic. That is what I refer to myself in that regard. That is language I use. What I sort of love slash hate, snigger, snigger, about science and scientists is that as they discover more about what dreams do from a biological functioning place, then there's this ipso facto automatic dismissal of the mysteries of dreams. Well, therefore, those things that some psychiatrists and psychologists over the years have thought dreams meant from a psychological place or a self-investigation place or connecting to the mysterious sides of life must not mean anything because now we know that scientifically it's about data. It's like, yeah, I don't think so. In fact, knowing that just sort of makes the mystery more profoundly mysterious.
Yes, because there are ways that we connect in our dreams to not
yes.
just personal, our personal story, not just kind of burning off that data or reorganizing things. We're also connecting to universal.
Absolutely. Symbols. Universal, collective. In fact, you know, dreams were the sort of arbiter of civilization. When we started gathering around the fire 40,000 years ago as communities, dreams were the first reality shows. So, you know, the real housewives of the Serengeti were, you know, a bunch of cave people sitting around the fire talking about what they had been dreaming. And what did people discover? One thing they discovered was that everyone was dreaming about the same stuff. Well, if this mysterious, rich, and vibrant world that I connect to in my dreaming life is having the same experience over there by you that I'm having, then there must be something to that mystical world if we all seem to be inhabiting the same mystical world. Another thing that appeared was ancestors, which we still have happen today. You know, grandma dies and suddenly she's appearing in our dreams. Yes. I hear hundreds of people talking about people, loved ones who have passed, coming to them in the dream state. So imagine 40,000 years ago when civilization was sort of gathering around the fires and people were saying, yeah, that ancestor, he visited me in my dreams. Oh, yeah, me too, me too. And suddenly the collective experience of the social interactions of communities were also recognizing that in this netherworld there was a connectedness that went beyond the scope of life and death.
One of the things that I like about this book, and this is a good one, folks, this is Dreamsight, a dictionary and guide for interpreting any dream, is that you talk a lot about looking at dream as story. And as I'm imagining those people sitting around the fire, it's spinning that story, not just my personal story or me and my ancestors. You're also spinning the story of a people, the story of that greater movement forward.
Yes, and in fact, I would say that you, as both a psychic and a teacher, certainly you and your listeners and people who follow your work understand the sort of yumminess of synchronicity, of when things line up in that unmistakable way, the random occurrence of events that can't be denied because of their similar qualities. That happens when people are talking about dreams. And in dream circles, which I, facilitate a couple of them in the Southern California area, when people gather to talk about their dreams and you've got 20 people and 15 dreams are being discussed by 15 different people in the group, suddenly there's a theme and there's a coyote in one dream and three dreams later there's another coyote. And people go, wow, that's weird. Isn't that weird? And it's like, well, yeah, that's weird in the true sense of the word weird, in the weirding way that is connected to the occult and the mystery. That we've been doing this also as communities of humans for thousands of years, recognizing that the thing I'm dreaming is connected to the thing that you're dreaming, and it makes us feel connected to each other in a world that looks so very separate.
Oh, this is great. This is great stuff. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Dr. Michael Lennox, and if you would like him to take a look at one of your dreams, if you'd like to share your dream story with us on the air, you can find us at 800-930-2819. That's 800-930-2819. When we come back after this short break, I'm going to ask Michael how he became a dream interpreter, and we're going to talk about dreams' meanings and how we can use those to help us move forward in our life. This is Out of the Fog, and we'll be right back after this.
Connect with your personal guardian angels, guides, and departed loved ones at Angels and the Afterlife, an enlightening day of answers with Doreen Virtue and John Holland on September 22nd in Seattle, Washington. Audience readings will be given throughout the day, so reserve your seat today by calling 800-654-5126. Discover how guardian angels support, heal, and guide to enact positive life changes. Tune in and increase your innate intuitive abilities to receive signs and signals from the other side. Seats are limited for the Angels and the Afterlife event, so call 800-654-5126 to reserve your seat today, or online, visit hayhouse.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session, or dial 415-235-2807.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, kind of bopping through the late afternoon, early evening with you. Thank you for joining us today. My guest on today's show is Dr. Michael Lennox. We're talking about dreams, why we have them, what they mean. He has the ability to interpret dreams, and he's published a great book about this called Dream Sight, a dictionary and guide for interpreting any dream. Any dream? I'm going to ask him about that in a minute. But first, Michael, I'd love to know how you got started doing. You were a little boy of three, and you said, when I grow up, I want to be a dream interpreter?
You know, in a way, that is how it happened. When I was a boy, I was fascinated with my dreams. But more importantly than that, my mother had the Broadway show album of Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, I love that album.
Well, in that show, there's a dream. Mm-hmm. And on the record album, there's in that dream sequence, which is a very significant plot point in the show, the character, the wife, says, "Tell me what you dreamed, and I'll tell you what it meant." Now, I heard that album a couple of hundred times throughout my childhood, and the dream sequence is very exciting musically. So as a kid, and my mother listened to the Weavers and Joan Baez and Pete Seeger, so I mean, I was exposed to a lot of other music that still resonates with me today. So it's not that unusual that something I listened to would resonate, but that particular phrase stuck with me. So later on in my adolescence, my mom was getting her MSW, or Master's in Social Work, so the book Freud's Interpretation of Dreams showed up on her shelf, and I read it. And I got, oh, wow, you really can look at dreams and get some value out of them. So that when in social settings in high schools, when it started, when kids would say, oh, my God, I had the craziest dream last night, I remembered Golda from Fiddler on the Roof, and I would say to my friends, why don't you tell me what you dreamed about? I bet you I might have some, you know, insight for you. And I don't know exactly what happened, because that was a long time ago and I just don't have the memory of it, but clearly something happened for me that I heard dreams and I had something to say. And when I would say whatever it is that I would say in response to a dream, people's eyes would widen and they'd go, wow, that's really interesting. Which was a very satisfying experience for me to have someone look at me with their eyes wide going, wow, you're interesting, because, you know, I had my little narcissistic wound, so that was a yummy thing. You know, so this continued into my adulthood, and I did find that I had a gift. And I moved to Southern California, which is sort of the land of the hang a shingle, and so I was able to comfortably explore the possibility that I could do something with this idea of having a gift of interpreting dreams. I later then got my master's and my doctorate in psychology because I wanted to devote my life to this. What happened with then Dream Sight and the idea of codifying what I did was I was asked by my manager at the time. She said, Michael, you got to figure out what it is you do when you're listening to a dream so that you can teach other people to do the same thing. And that's sort of how the book was born, was could I really watch what I do when I'm interpreting a dream and then sort of present it to the world as something that's maybe an innate gift in me, but that it's ultimately a human experience to be able to do this.
And as you've worked with all these people now, jillions and jillions of people, that's probably the scientific number.
Yes.
As you've worked with all these people, what is the value? What do we gain when we pay attention to our dreams, when we actually stop and take note of them?
Most of our human experience is in the invisible. The conscious mind that does our thinking is the tiniest, tiniest little part of us. And yet it's what we rely on for everything. It's that little voice that says, you know, turn left, not right, watch the truck coming, you know, take a sweater, it's cold. We, of course, rely on it for everything, but it's really a very tiny part of ourselves. Dreams exist in the other. Dreams exist in the invisible, and so they express what's going on in the invisible, and therefore they have the value of being a kind of a snapshot for what's going on underneath the surface. You know, fear is one of the great levelers of our human experience, because we're all trying to succeed in this business of life, and we are inhibited by that which we are afraid of. Dreams are a wonderful snapshot into what is frightening you or inhibiting you or holding you back. And they speak in a language, and the language is symbolic. It's imagery. And if you play around with it and sort of let the unconscious mind know that you're paying attention, it will be even more expressive to you. One of the things, and this is mysterious, this is not going to appeal to any of your rationally minded listeners, the idea that we get smarter in dreams because we're recalling data and putting it where we can retrieve it is one thing that we can prove scientifically. I believe that we also become wiser in our dreams. And to me, what wisdom is smarts plus love.
Oh, that's great. That's great that we're not just kind of bringing in, you know, getting facts, assimilating facts. We're also getting experience, insight, wisdom.
Insight, larger capacities, room to sort of shift, breathe, and choose. You know, it's that notion of we're practicing in dreams. So I'm running down the street in my dream and I'm being chased by an assailant that I know wants to kill me. And then I wake up. Well, that's a symbol for the ways in which my own life feels like I'm on the run from things that are scary to me. And if I wake up having survived the assailant in my dream, it's kind of like practicing running from stress, running from relationship challenges, running from that which I feel responsible to. If I turn around and I pay a little attention to the dreams, it's like practicing with consciousness. It's like doing it again, only I'm going to get more out of it this time. I'm going to get more out of knowing that, oh, I'm having that dream again where that guy in the hoodie is running after me with a knife. Maybe there's something in my life right now that is scaring me at that level. Mm-hmm. And just by paying a little attention to it, maybe I'll be, you know, that much more graceful when it comes time to be in a fearful experience in my waking life.
And so recurring dreams maybe are meant to be flags. Hey, pay attention to this. Hey, look over here.
Yeah. Well, I love that. I love that. Karen, you just nailed it. Hey, look over here. See, one of the things that I think confounds people about dream work, especially when they've worked with me and they see how sort of how well I do this, and they think, well, I can't do that. No, you may never be able to interpret a dream with the incredible speed at which I can. But that's not how it works. It isn't a rational experience, and it doesn't need to be done with the kind of finite sensibility that I might be able to do in a two-minute experience with someone. It's more a, hey, look over here kind of phenomenon. What I'm fond of telling people when I do workshops and speaking engagements is, I tell people, I'm not interested in the way you are good at love or being in the light. And that usually gets a laugh and a perplexed look from about half the people, because they think, well, I'm a new age spiritual teacher. I must be interested in light and love. But I'm not, because why? Because light and love knows exactly what to do. It fills the space automatically. What I'm interested in is, where are you inhibiting that? Where are you restricting against light and love filling the space inside your consciousness? The moment you know where that is, the light will automatically fill the space. And you don't have to fix it or analyze it or get to the root of it. You just need to say, look, hey, over here, this is the area in the unconscious mind that I'm feeling scared or frightened or restricted or constricted. And all you do is glance over, and in an instant, the unconscious mind knows exactly to release its grip on you and fill the space with a little bit more light.
I love that, and I'm a big believer that we get to choose our experience. We get to choose what we do, and so that little reminder, that little timer, can be going off in our brains. Hey, over here, ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Pay attention. Yeah. Over here. But unless we allow then ourselves to put our attention on that, unless we are receptive to that message, then I think we can allow the love and light to allow the love and light to fill the space. But we got to be receptive.
That's right. We do have to pay attention, or we will have a very similar amount of that love and light over and over and over again, but we can have exponentially more and more and more and more simply by turning to where we're shrinking away from it. Dreams are a wonderful access point to where I'm scared.
Do you think then that if you have the same dream over and over, that it means that you haven't yet addressed it, or could that same dream repeat kind of as something you're familiar with but be pointing to a different area? Do you know what I mean?
You're absolutely right in both counts. On one hand, there are certain brain economics. The brain is an economical organ. It will use similar imagery to express similar stresses. So for you, if it's sharks, it's always going to be sharks. However, there's another kind of recurring dream that happens a little bit more with a little more sort of creativity, where you might dream the same kind of dream again and again and again over a period of weeks or months. That is more likely an example of your unconscious mind knocking at the door saying, pay attention to me, and it'll try again using the same imagery. Either way, whether it's a sort of banal, repeating dream that you've had all your life, like it's always the tidal wave, right? That's a big one where Someone says, yeah, all my life, every once in a while, every few months, I dream that I'm being overtaken by a tidal wave and I drown, or I'm going to drown. And yeah, you can interpret that. Waves are water's emotion. Waves are waves of emotion. Tidal waves are enormous waves of emotion that are going to overwhelm and drown you. So that every time you feel a little emotionally overwhelmed, that dream is an economical way for your brain to process the emotional overwhelm. Why? So you can wake up the next day and not be so emotionally overwhelmed.
Fantastic. You are listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. I will be right back with Dr. Michael Lennox.
Lisa Kay, international business consultant and mentor, and host of the hit show Success and Empowerment, as she combines a voracious appetite for learning and a life mission to understand and simplify the complex, as she delivers a recipe for your unique talent. Lisa's intuitive ability to ask the right question has set her apart, as she engages the most inspiring people in the world to tell their story. Tune in each Tuesday at 2 Pacific at TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Wednesday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern Time, and express and experience the infinite possibilities waiting in each and every moment as you listen to From the Heart with Elizabeth Cookson. Get ready for a packed hour of laughter, tears, and a soul full of emotions as Elizabeth raises your vibration and shifts your spirit. For more information about Elizabeth and to schedule a session, visit ElizabethCookson.com.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Do you feel that somehow there should be more to life? Would you like to navigate through life so that you can more easily find your way to greater joy, ease, and abundance? Join Transformation Talk Radio hosts Christine Upchurch and Sabrina Fritz on Saturday, September 15th in Seattle for Authenticity Rising, 5 fun steps to true empowerment. For more information about this one-day workshop, visit AuthenticityRising.com. That's AuthenticityRising.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and my guest this hour is Dr. Michael Lennox. His book is Dream Sight, a dictionary and guide for interpreting any dream, and you can find out more about Michael and his work at michaellennox.com. Now, I've often thought we have great conversations on the air, and some of the most interesting conversations then happen when we go off the air, and everybody else is listening to commercials, and we're still talking. And Michael, you started to tell a story off the air about a woman who had a recurring dream about, and this is a recurring dream that sounded really scary to me, but it sounds like you're going to turn it around and make it all inspirational, and
it connects to the idea of recurring dreams, of the other kind of recurring dreams, which I call process-oriented recurring dreams. These are the dreams that repeat in a kind of similar theme, usually more frequent, you know, maybe every couple of weeks or months, through while someone's going through some kind of a journey or process. And as often happens, when the imagery is terrifying for the dreamer gets very stuck in the loop of, oh, this must mean something bad. So in this case, a young woman in her 20s was dreaming that she'd be pregnant and she would give birth to a newborn baby, and then she would murder him or her in really bloody, violent ways. And this was happening over and over again to the point where she was very disturbed by the imagery. She knew enough about dreams to get that this dream series had some sort of meaning, and she just assumed that it meant that she was a terrible person who was never going to be a good mother because she wouldn't get past killing off her own newborn children. So I introduced her to universal meaning of the symbols that appeared in the dream. So if we look at birth, giving birth is a new project, a new direction, a new idea, a new possibility. Because in the thing we're creating, it has all its potential wrapped up in it, and we've birthed it, we've created it, we've brought it through. And she's like, okay, yeah, I get that. And I said, well, murdering is to create, to choose a death. A death is a very powerful symbol of change and transformation because the death is always going to be followed by a rebirth. And she suddenly got big aha energy. She flipped out. She's like, oh, my God, I'm a writer. I've been working on a project. I've been having to throw away first drafts. And every time she had to throw away a first draft of something she had written, she was having this dream. Because she was literally throwing away one of her babies. And in order to make room in her now, this is a creative person, a writer, a professional writer. So this throwing away first drafts and making new space for her creative gifts to birth something new, that was a fairly large psychic process. It was, there was pressure because she was being paid for this, you know what I mean? So this wasn't like a light and easy breezy moment. These were pressurized times. Her unconscious was absolutely participating vibrantly in the process of helping her clear the emotional, psychic, energetic decks of what it was to birth one thing, having to throw it away to make room for another. And you get there by going to the universal meaning, which is, of course, what dream sight is really all about, is that dreams are stories told in the language. What is the language? The language is symbol. The language has meaning. And what is the meaning? That meaning of a symbol is built into the thing itself.
And part of the gift that you gave her, though, also was, though, you helped her put it in context.
Right, right. Yes.
You know, so that it wasn't a big part of this book, and you guys go out and get the book now, Dream Sight. A big part of this is looking at the universal landscape and then bringing that down into what you call the dream lens, which is that the context within
yes,
which
the context
that
of the dream.
Place.
So we start with the universal landscape. What would we all see if we were all standing on one hill looking at the landscape of something across the way, and we were all, hundreds of us, thousands of us, were all looking at the thing itself? What would we all see? You know, so I often use snakes as an example. Well, what did every third grader in school in the Western civilization ever learn about snakes? That they shed their skins. So we all have this thing about snakes grow. We can't see their growth, but when they're ready to bust through their old skins, they shed off and they are discarded, and there's a brand new skin underneath waiting to facilitate their movement through life. So the universal meaning of a snake is transformation and change. The dreaming lens might shift and change what we do with that universal meaning of change. So if you're dreaming about the snake is in your path, then it's about a change that sort of stops you in your path. Then I go a little further to what I call the personal focus. You know, all these are little ocular images. It all connects with dream sight, you see. And the personal focus is, well, you add your personal association. Well, maybe you hate snakes and are scared of them. So this is a change that stops you in your path that you are uncomfortable with. But the very same dream imagery for the person who thinks snakes are exciting and titillating would be the change or transformation that's stopping me in my path invokes my curiosity and excitement.
Now, when you're interpreting a dream, how do you know when you've hit the right interpretation? Where is that sweet spot where you know that you've brought all three of those things, the universal landscape, the dream lens, that context, and the personal focus? How do you know if you've got the right interpretation?
That's a great question. I'll answer it in two ways. And of course, the one way is that there's no such thing as a right interpretation. There just isn't. And there's also no one way to work with dreams. There's just an infinite number of ways to work with dreams. And from the dream's perspective, if you think of the dream as sort of a living, breathing story that wants to be felt, heard, seen, and told, it doesn't care either how you interpret the dream. It really is only interested in, are you paying it any attention? You know, kind of like the kid jumping in the pool on a Saturday afternoon while his mom is trying to read her magazine. He's going, Ma, look! And jumping in over and over and over again. The little kid is like a dream. He's just saying, hey, look, pay attention to me. Now, when I'm working with somebody, how I know is the response has to be there. The dreamer has to say, aha. Now, you could call this boasting and bragging. I've had a lifetime of ahas. That's sort of how I stay on this path. It's why I do what I do, because thousands of people have looked at me, widened their eyes, and said, oh, my God, that's so interesting. Like I said, as a kid, they started it, and they've been doing it ever since. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of how I know I have the gift is because thousands of people have gone, oh, my God, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So that's how I know.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, as I process a dream now, there's no separation between knowing that I'm onto something and what it is that's coming out of my mouth. And that's just a function of me knowing what my gifts and talents are. I mean, you're an intuitive. You're a psychic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I am.
How do you know when you're tapped into that energy? It's really not anything that you know or don't know. You just do what you do.
Yeah.
And you trust it, and that's called a gift and a talent.
Is intuition part of what you're doing as you're listening to people's stories? Are you sort of going in there with them a little bit? And
absolutely, 100%, only half of it. There's no mistaking that I call myself half scientist, half mystic. One half of, and I have a kind of thinking, feeling structure that allows me to do this. In fact, when I was a kid, I had exactly equal scores on my SATs in English and in math. And a lot of people said to me, wow, that's crazy. Now, I didn't think that was crazy. It was just I went in, I took the test like everybody else. So to me, that wasn't interesting. Now, as an adult with a doctorate in psychology, I know that's really unusual that I have an equal measure in both worlds. 1 foot firmly in the left, 1 foot firmly in the right. So in the left brain, I am categorizing everything that I'm hearing you say in lightning speed. I'm hearing every image that you're saying, and I'm making assessments about what things might mean based on their use, their essence, their structure, if it's an animal, what I know about the animal. So my left brain is doing all of this sort of scientific fact-checking very, very fast. And my right brain, my intuitive, is swimming around in the three-dimensional space, or the five-dimensional space, however you want to put it, and sort of grabbing these different left brain details and making a full sort of three-dimensional picture with it and doing a little bit of telepathy. That inevitably part of what I'm pulling out is coming straight from the other person's brain because I can't explain how that happens. I just know that it does.
Yep. No, I gotcha. I'm with you, and that makes you a bridge. And one of the things that we need now is more people to be bridges.
More people who are stepping into being a bridge. That's right. And not just those of us who do it professionally, but for all of us to do it all the time, online at the grocery store, at Starbucks, in the car, with their children, with their spouses, in their sleep.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, and that is a message that's really important to get out, I think. Now, you're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. We have one segment left with Dr. Michael Lennox. I have 850,000 more questions. Will we get them all in? I can talk fast.
Tune back in. Find out.
You're going to have to come back after this break to find out. We'll be right back.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative, broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on Transformation Talk Radio.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. That, I think, is from Supertramp's Breakfast in America album. That just blew my mind, and I was immediately taken back to my childhood bedroom where I played that record over and over and over again. I didn't wear it out, but I must have come close, and my parents and my sister showed amazing restraint in letting me play it over and over. My guest on today's show is not anybody from the band Supertramp. My guest is Dr. Michael Lennox. He is the author of Dream Sight, a dictionary and guide for interpreting any dream. And you can find out more about him, find more about the book, find out about his work and what's he doing at michaellennox.com. Now, Michael, this is the last segment of the show. I know it goes really quickly. Mm-hmm. I promised my son that I would ask you, is there a way that we can control what we dream? My son is 12, and he watched a movie that scared him, and he wants to dream a dream that takes away his fear of what's he dreaming.
Wow, okay, yes. It's called lucid dreaming, and it's becoming very attractive to people. There are lots of classes and books around that teach this. And basically what a class in lucid dreaming would do for somebody is mostly get people in the mindset of setting the intention. Intention is everything. If you set an intention, no matter what it is, for a conversation to go a certain way or an experience to happen in a certain way, that's the power that we have in our minds. And so it's about making the going to bed process a kind of sacred experience and saying, I intend to dream about this. I intend to dream about that. And the real mastery piece around lucid dreaming is consistency. You know, if you do this 5 nights or 6 nights or 8 nights or 20 nights in a row and have no luck and result, it might be that it's 25 nights or maybe it's 7,652 nights before you can actually have the exact dream experience that you're calling forth, but it's a muscle, and it needs to be exercised as such and really kept to as a discipline. So if your son wants to dream away his fear, the object would be, before he goes to bed, say, "Hey, self, I intend to have dreams that help me process this fear. Thank you very much. I'll see you in the morning."
Mm. Well, and if I'm following your philosophy, your approach to this, when we sort of are setting that intention to have a certain dream or dream a certain way, it's not like we're popping in a DVD like I'm going to entertain myself.
Right, exactly
dreaming.
Right. There's a version of this which I call petitioning dreams, which isn't about having a specific dream experience, but asking the unconscious mind to participate in something that's happening in a healing that you want to go through, that you say, "Okay, dreams, send me something that helps me with this process. I recently had an emotional experience where I wanted to heal some of my mother wound. My mom came for a visit, and it was mostly lovely, but there was enough of that that it was horribly challenging, and I thought, let's call forth a dream." And I petitioned my dreams, and I got some help in a dream I was having an affair with a woman that I know whose husband was very angry and betrayed. But what was interesting was an affair in the dream was about coming together with or connecting with or embracing. And the woman that I dreamt about this was someone who's very emotionally sensitive and tender. And in my relationship with my mother, there wasn't any room or allowance for me to be intuitive or sensitive or emotional. See, so the dream was helping me reclaim that part of me that felt like a betrayal if I went there as a kid. Because my mother had no capacity to embrace that part of me. So the dreaming helped me process the forgiveness. And I got it by petitioning, by saying to my unconscious before I went to bed, "Hey, send me a dream that'll help."
Wow. And I know there are people listening, Michael, who are saying, "All this is great. All this, I've healed my wounds, and I controlled my dreams, and I, you know, facilitated all this stuff." But what do you say to people who say it doesn't matter because I can't remember my dreams anyway? I'm not even sure I'm actually dreaming. How
right.
can people remember their dreams and start to have more awareness of this?
First, you got to put a pad and a pencil by your bed. So you have to have the access to writing a dream down right at hand because the window is open very short period of time. But more importantly than that, you've got to go to the pad even when there's nothing to write. You have to go to the pad even if what you have to write down is, "I don't remember anything from my dreams last night." And then wait a moment to see if anything pops through. And then get out of bed. See, because then you're signaling your unconscious mind that you have the intention to remember the dreams. The unconscious mind will respond and reply eventually. But if you wait for the big dream to come before you write it down, it ain't going to happen. You can't wait for the inspiration. You've got to go and take the physical action that tells your unconscious mind that you want that sensorial experience. And then you're far more likely to start remembering dreams. And you might only remember them in tiny snippets. That's why I suggest you wait a moment and then write down, "Oh, yes, fuzzy orange pillow." Mm-hmm. Or root canal. So that you're not waiting for the big dream to come by and change your life. You're just working with whatever you've got.
Well, you also advocate, though, free association of just letting it, really opening it up and being as free as you want to be.
Yes, it is not important for you to be exact with how you interpret. You can even just grab one image from a dream that feels the most memorable and play with that. Draw it. I remember the clown's face, so I'm going to draw the clown's face. Because we're working with the unconscious. The unconscious doesn't care about linear structure. Only that tiny little piece of the consciousness that's really only responsible for saying, "Hey, bring a sweater today, it's cold." The unconscious mind doesn't need those details. It just wants to have a vibrant, dancey kind of experience expressing itself. And your job as a good human being, a steward of your masterful living, is you'll be having a more dynamic, expansive, expressive experience of life. You might not be able to identify exactly how that is, but you'll feel it in your heart with more space, more grace, more love, more curiosity.
Oh my goodness. You've said that very well. It's about honoring all of you, even the parts that happen when you're asleep, honoring your whole experience.
Yes.
Wonderful. Yes. Michael, thank you so much for being on the show today. What a lot of fun that was, if I do say so myself.
Great. Yeah, thank you. I accept, and I say so myself.
Wonderful. That was Dr. Michael Lennox. He is the author of the book Dream Sight, a dictionary and guide for interpreting any dream. Go get the book. A lot of cool. There's one whole big part of the book is a dictionary of images in your dreams and some guides to bring it through those three parts of dream sight so that you can have more insight into your own dreaming life. Now, that is all the time we have for today. Visit michaellennox.com to find out more about Michael and what he's doing, and also go over to fogcitypsychic.com and just click on everything. Grab that free spiritual practice audio, check out upcoming classes and events, and find out what it might be like if you and I connected for a private intuitive session. I promise not to tell you my dreams, though. It'll all be about you if we connect. Tomorrow at 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific, I'm delighted. I'm going to be guesting on Dr. Tammy Balashevsky's show, Journey to Center. That's over at empowerradio.com. We're going to be talking about how being out of alignment spiritually can show up in relationships and finances, and I'll be taking calls for on-air readings at empowerradio.com. Thank you so much for listening today. Together, we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.
You've been listening to the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to spark your spirit and ignite your soul. Visit fogcitypsychic.com today to book your session with Karen and learn about upcoming events and classes. If you've missed any part of this amazing show, go to fogcitypsychic.com for your free download. See you next week.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio. Talk radio to change the world.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect. Make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, transformationtalkradio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just...
cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear. Thank you.